wall. And where their body tells them, everything about them tells them, this is it. This is as far as we can go. I'm too weak. It's too hard. But if they press on through, all of a sudden, something unusual will happen. They get a second wind. They get a second breath. And they're able to run in the strength of that and finish the race. And so why does God send times of refreshing? One of the reasons is that. Because the people of God grow weary in their running of the race. And God wants to send a time of refreshing to you. If you need a time of refreshing, I tell you, God's got one for you. God's got one for you. Maybe you felt weary in well-doing. God's got a refreshing for you to pour out upon you the power of the Holy Spirit. But now we talked about there are some things that we need to do in awareness of the times that we are living in, so that what? We can receive this refreshing from God. Remember, I talked about on the Mount of Olives when Jesus was speaking to them just before he ascended into heaven. He spoke to at least 500 of his disciples, and he spoke to them and he said, go to Jerusalem, you know the story, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, he didn't give them a timeline. He didn't say, everybody get out your day timer, get out your to-do list, everybody open up your laptop. Now, here's what's going to happen in 10 days at such and such an hour. The Holy Ghost is going to fall. He didn't do that. He just said, you go wait. You go wait on me. A time and a season is near. A time and a season for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with power is near. He said, if you will be in this place, if you will be in the right place, if you will be patient, if you will be in prayer, if you will be in faith, you will receive the refreshing of the Lord. And we all know, if you read over there in Acts chapter 2, that out of that 500, there was 120. That made it until the outpouring. And I, you know, I mentioned this, I don't know, but just, you know, there were people just like we were people. They were no different. They were flesh and blood just like us. You know, I'd like to imagine that first day that they went there, maybe they had, you know, maybe 480 people showed up. Man, they were thinking, wow, man, this is great. And they spent all day in the Word and in prayer. Nothing happened. And so the next day, maybe there was 400. And maybe the next day, the third and fourth day, it was down to 350. And maybe the fifth day, it was down to 200. I don't know. But, you know, by the time the 10th day got around, there was only 120 up there. Now, they all heard Jesus say that. They all knew there was a time and a season and a plan of God for an outpouring and a refreshing. But they did not all put themselves in position to receive it. I want you to receive it. Amen. We looked in Genesis. We won't turn over there, but just make a note of it. Genesis 26, verse 15 through 18. It says that Isaac returned to the land of his father, Abraham. And when he got there, he found that the Philistines had filled up all the wells that his father had dug. They had filled him up with rock and dirt and debris. And now the water, the life-giving water, was inaccessible. And this is a picture, I believe, of the church of God as a whole here in America right now, is that those wells of salvation, the wells of water that represent God's salvation, God's Holy Spirit, God's refreshing, life-giving power, the Philistines, a type of the world, we've allowed the world to come in, all the cares, the fears, the worries, all the hurts, the wounds, the offenses, all the junk that's been piled in, we've allowed our well to be filled up, and now we cannot access the life-giving water. And when people get around us, rather than getting life-giving water, they just get muddy. And it's a mess, isn't it? And it says that that Isaac went and he redug the wells. And this is where I want to hook up today. He redug the wells of his father Abraham. He didn't look for a new spot. He didn't look to try to dig his own well, his own thing. He said, I know the wells. I've drank from these wells. There's life-giving water there. These wells were a gift from God to my father by faith. And I know that there's water down there, and I'm going to rediscover it. I'm going to redig. I'm going to begin to dig. And this is one of the things that you and I must do. Each one of us in our own well, in our own life, must begin to look and assess and reassess and look at what is blocking my access to the flow of the Spirit of God. It's not that we need God to do some new thing coming down on us. It's that God wants to do some new thing coming out of us. But the mud is blocking it. The debris is blocking it. It may be a hurt or an offense that you have towards somebody. Maybe there's unforgiveness there. Maybe you're mad at God. Maybe you feel like God's given you a raw deal in life. Come on. Maybe you feel like you've got the short end of the stick. Maybe you feel like you hadn't even got to get one hand on the stick. Whatever it is, maybe it's fears about what's happening. Maybe there's sickness that has lingered in your body. There's all kind of things that can come in, and it begins to fill up the well, and it begins to block our fellowship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit is diminished in our life, and it's not flowing from us. And I got news for you. News flash. If it's not flowing from you and you and me and you and you and you, it's not flowing from the church, because me and you and you and you and all of us, we are the church. And if God is going to do something, He's going to do it through us, or He's going to raise up another generation to do it through. I don't want somebody taking my place. Amen? I don't want to take anybody else's place, but I don't want anybody taking my place. I want my well of water springing up me to be a rejuvenating power. And listen, when the stream's coming out of you and you and all of us combined together, I'm telling you what, we can create a mighty spiritual Amazon. Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you what, if you ever see the mouth of the Amazon, it is awesome. It is awesome. I mean, you look at the mouth, you think you're already in the ocean. No, this is just a river. But I want to tell you something. Cindy and I have been up in the Amazon basin, and we've been on other rivers. And what? What difference does that make? You're distracting me. Where was I? Up, down. They have. How many of you have ever been to the Amazon? Say they don't matter. Up, down. What's the difference? Oh, Lordy. For those of you listening to this, that was my wife. Everybody in Europe now knows. Hallelujah. Where was I? Oh, yeah, the Amazon River. We were down in the Amazon basin. And we were on some of the rivers, very large rivers, but you know what? They were tributaries. Tributaries. And you know, here's the thing. You and I, each one of us, what? We are tributaries, aren't we? But if we will, you know what would happen if it might be possible, but if every one of those tributaries were dammed up, you know what would happen to the Amazon? It would dry up. That's exactly right. And see, we want to see the flow of the Holy Spirit moving through us and from us into our communities, into our families. But here's the thing. If you dam up your tributary and my tributary is dammed up and yours and yours and yours and yours, then all of a sudden, guess what? There is no flow. There is no Amazon. There is no spiritual flow. So he dug his well. You and I have to dig our well. And here's the thing. We can encourage one another. But listen, you are responsible for digging your well. I am responsible for digging mine. The pastor is not responsible for digging everybody's well. Come on. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to help you. By the grace of God, I'm going to give you some tools to help you dig it. But you've got to dig it. Isn't that right? Just like I can't pray. I do pray for you, but listen, that's not enough for your prayer life. You got to pray for yourself. Isn't that right? So the church has got to redig these wells. Redig these wells. One of the tools for redigging this well, the first thing, of course, I said is we got to look and admit to ourselves there's some stuff that needs to be dug out here. There's some stuff that needs to be. There's some attitudes here. I got an attitude toward somebody in the body of Christ. I got an attitude toward, my boss. I got an attitude. You say, yeah, but he's not saved. That don't matter. God didn't say, just forgive the Christians. He said, if any man, if you have aught against any man, saved and unsaved, forgive them. Come on. But you know, just how many of you know, can I just be real frank right here? How many of you know sometimes it's people in your own family that offend you that's hardest to forgive? Come on. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And you know, that's true about the family of God too. Sometimes the people, you know, we're quick to forgive, the unsaved person that has done something wrong to us. But when it's in our own family, the family of God, sometimes, boy, we hang on to those grudges. I mean, because they ought to know better. Yeah, they ought to know better. I'm mad at them. They ought to know better. Well, you ought to know better too, hadn't you? Isn't that right? And while we can all agree, yes, we ought to know better, how many of you know we're all still human? Isn't that right? So the first thing is we've got to forgive. We've got to forgive. There's not going to be any flow of the Spirit if we've got something against one another. Amen? If you stay around people long enough, they're going to do something you don't like. Have you found that out? Isn't that right? You sure can. Come on up. Should be on.
I don't know if you were watching TV this morning, but I was watching Jensen Franklin this morning. I don't know. Has anybody watched that? Okay. Did you hear what he was talking about? It was along the lines of this. And he made a very profound statement. He was quoting somebody else. So I'm quoting somebody who quoted somebody else. And the statement was this. He was talking about, dance like nobody's watching and this and that. But he was saying this. Love like nobody's ever hurt you. When you love somebody, act as if they've never hurt you. And he was talking about this very thing. He was talking about how family members are often the ones that we're holding the little, in here about. And that will block the flow.
Absolutely.
It'll block the flow.
It sure will.
If every time you look at that person, you think of that thing that he or she did about you. Have you ever heard people saying, I'm forgiven, but I'm never going to forget? You ever heard that saying? That is so unchristian. That is so not God. Okay? We're like, yeah, I'm going to forgive. Yeah, I've forgiven him. Yeah, I've done it. Yeah. But I'm not going to forget that thing he did. If every time you see that person walk in the room, that's the first thing you think about, and you get your guard up, and everything is filtered through that thing, then there will not be a relationship with that person. And there will not be a relationship with God.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got what in digging this thing, we've got to assess, and then as we begin to dig, we've got to deal with the stuff that's there. And I guarantee you, when you start digging out your well, you're going to come across some stuff that you're not really, how shall we say, you're not going to be too comfortable with it. Isn't that true? But you're going to have to be honest. I remember growing up in the country like I did. We had for many years, we didn't have running water inside the house. We had a well. We'd let the bucket down and haul the water up. And, boy, that was great tasting water. But, every once in a while, if somebody left the top off of the well and a rat or something got in there and died, man, it messed up the whole well of water. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, man, and what used to be sweet now is bitter. Is bitter. Remember Moses was at at Mara, and the bitter waters there. And you know what he did? He took a tree. Oh, hallelujah! And God said, "Cast the tree in, and purify the waters. Well, I want to tell you, there's only one tree that can purify, and that's Calvary. It's the only tree that's going to purify. So I want to tell you, when you're digging out this thing, you're going to have to allow God's tree to be what? To be put back in, if you will, into the waters of your life, in the well of your life. You're going to have to let that tree again be applied to the well water of your life, because that's the only way it's going to go from bitter to fresh, from sour to sweet, from causing people to turn their nose up to all of a sudden causing people to desire it. You know, that was the thing about Jesus, wasn't he? He was a people magnet. I mean, people wanted to be near him. People wanted to be around him. Isn't that true? That, I mean, wherever he went. I mean, could you imagine today if Jesus was here today and he was traveling with you know, and having a crowd of 25, 30,000 people following him? You talk about, I've never seen it. I've seen it advertised. I think there's some program on TV called Entourage or something like that. I don't know what it's about. It's probably about some Hollywood thing. I don't know. But we know what Entourage is. You know, where, you know, usually there's a celebrity and then, you know, they got the hangers on and whatever that go with him. Well, his people, they call them people. You got people. Could you imagine Jesus? I mean, you know, here's Jesus going down. You're driving your car in West Palm. You come to the light and all of a sudden here comes this teacher, this crazy guy everybody's talking about. And, you know, and there's this big crowd following me. And it takes a half hour for him to cross the street. Wow. But you know what? People wanted to be around him. And I believe this, people still do. People still do. And it's Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory is what people want to see. But because they have to wade through the muck and the junk to get to see where the water is, where Jesus is, it's so unpalatable that people won't make the effort to wade through the muck to get to Jesus. So it is our responsibility to deal with the junk in our life so that what? People will see the Lord. You know, as Christians, many times, the body of Christ, we get so preoccupied with what's going on in our life. Are you listening to me? People can't see Jesus in us, because when they talk to us, all they see is our fears. All they see is our worries. All they see here is our doubts. All they hear is our complaining. They bump into our attitudes. No wonder they can't see Jesus. No wonder they're not drawn. Hey, I'm not drawn to that. Are you drawn to somebody with a bad attitude? Oh, yeah, I just can't wait to get to him. I mean, man, I'm working with that guy on the job, man, this week, and I'm telling you what. Oh, boy. No, you're thinking, oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm a believer, so I can't lay out. I got to be at work because I'm a person of integrity. Amen. Thank you. I just preach it all. You know. And, you know, but what? Man, you don't want to be. The truth is you don't want to be around that person. Well, you know, the same goes for us. And then that person starts wanting to tell you about God. Let me tell you how wonderful God is. Well, first, get out of the way. Get your stuff out of the way so that they can see him a little bit. Then tell him about him. Isn't that right? But you know, before you start preaching, maybe you should start revealing. And that comes what? We've got to dig out the junk out of our own well. And you've got to dig yours and I got to dig mine. And of course, after we assess, what? We got to pray. We got to pray. Jesus said, these things will not go out except by prayer and fasting. That ain't just devils. These attitudes will not go out except by prayer and fasting. These fears will not go out sometimes except by prayer and fasting. This unforgiveness I'm carrying around and this grudge I'm carrying around and this mad I got on, it won't go out except sometimes by prayer and fasting. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. It is. It's God's word. It's got to be good. It's God's word. And so here's the thing. We've got to begin to what? We've got to begin to spend some time in prayer, in the word, in prayer, and begin to what? Dig out this stuff. Amen. The Holy Spirit will begin to show it to you. You begin to pray. You begin to confess it to God. You begin to confess the Word of God over you. You begin to, what, take some stuff out, put some stuff in. What is it they used to say? Out with the bad and in with the good. And if we don't do that, then you know what? That's, you know, it's just more stuff. Because how many of you know every day the Philistines try to put stuff in your well? Isn't that true? Every day somebody tries to put stuff in your well. They, you know, the devil will bring people by your path so that you'll, what? Some more unforgiveness. Pack that on in. All right, let's get another bad attitude. Let's pack that on in. Let's get another offense and a hurt. Let's pack that on in. Pack it down real good. Don't let them get to that water. Don't let them see the water. Because if they ever taste and see that the Lord is good, we've lost them. If they ever taste and see that Jesus is so good, then we've lost them. Listen, the world is not so hard to reach as we think. It's the way we're going about doing it. You know, it's kind of like this. You could take the fastest person alive. Somewhere in the world, there's the fastest person alive. You could take that person, and you know what? Under the right conditions, I could beat them in a race. Break one of their legs. Well, I could probably beat them back. Well, I don't know about backwards, but come on. And see, many times when we're going to reach out to the world, when we're going to reach out with what we call the gospel and the love of God, no, that's what we're doing. We're doing it in a handicapped fashion. We got all this junk in our wells. We got all this stuff clogging up so that people never really get to taste the pure water of Jesus, the pure grace of God, the love of God, the power of God. They never experience it because they run into somebody with unforgiveness that is a theologian. I can quote the scriptures, but you keep running up into my bad attitude. Amen. Talking, I'm on the job, I'm talking about my husband, I'm talking about my wife, or I'm talking about a brother or sister, I'm talking about the preacher, I'm talking about the president, I'm complaining about something. Because it's almost like we can't be happy if we're not miserable. Come on. What? What is all that? That tells me what? That my well has some stuff in it. My well has some stuff. And if I don't dig that out, see, it's just going to keep, because the world and people are just going to keep, and they don't know they're piling stuff in you. They're just doing what they do. But here's what we do, is see, we need to, just like Mama used to be after us all the time, did you put the cover back on the well? In other words, we need to guard our heart, guard our attitudes, guard those things so that we don't just let everything come in. Because what? It's not only about us, it is about us, but also what? It's about other people. Because you know what? Other people are going to drink from your well. And muddy water is not too appealing. Amen? Turn over real quickly to Judges. We're talking about the purpose of refreshing. And so here's the thing. If you are going to receive refreshing from the Lord, you're going to have to redo some digging in your well. And every one of us have areas where we need to dig. There's no use us saying, oh, not me, Pastor, not me. Oh, please, don't add that to it. Don't add that to your well. Isn't that right? There's no use adding that to your well. I mean, you know, we're not buying it. We're not buying it. Isn't that right? We're not buying it. Any more than we're buying, you know, offshore drilling rights. We're not buying it. Judges 2:7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, had seen all the great works of the Lord he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in the mount of Ephraim, in the north side of the hill of Gash. And so all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The reason God wants to send refreshing is that every generation needs to experience the living reality of Christ. Not a historical Jesus. Oh, let me tell you what Jesus used to do. Let me tell you what he did for Grandpappy. Well, that's all great. But listen, I'm not living when Grandpappy lived. I'm living right now. And there's a right now generation. There's a generation of young people. There's a generation that have not experienced an outpouring, a refreshing of God in His Spirit and seen His power and had a revelation of God's heart, God's love, and what God is able to do. And to have a living relationship with Jesus. A lot of young people, they have a secondhand knowledge of God from dad and grandpa. But it's not secondhand that they need. It's firsthand that they need. And nothing unusual about that, because he said this generation that followed Joshua, I mean, you think about the exploits that they did. They came out of Egypt. They saw the Red Sea split. They saw the Jordan, and they went on dry land. They saw the walls pushed down flat, you know, when they went up to fight. They saw God bring manna out of heaven. They saw the pillar of cloud, the fire. They saw all these great things that God did. And, you know, but yet there rose up a generation that had not seen them. And so what happened is, if you read through the book of Judges, God would begin to raise up different ones, different judges, and he raised them up to use them as an instrument to begin to stir the people of God in that new generation to seek after God. Seek after God. Seek after God. And you know what? God is using me to declare to you, seek after God. Don't be content with your past experience. Don't be content with reading about what happened, you know, back there in 19-aught and whatever. Thank God for that. But this is a new generation. And God is wanting to use us to be the bridge between what God has done and what God is doing and what God is going to do. Somebody somewhere has got to rise up in the things of God and go out and dig the wells and pay the price and cry out to God and say, God, pour out your Spirit upon this present generation. The harvest is white. When God called Israel out, he said, I'm going to call you into a land that's different from the land that you left. And we read over there in Deuteronomy, he said, the land that you lived in there in Egypt, you had to water it by your foot. In other words, they had a treadmill device, and they had to walk on that thing in the hot sun. And basically it was this, by your own efforts, by your own strength, by your own sweat and tears and blood, you watered and made things grow. But he said, the land I want to take you into, and I promised you, it receives waters from heaven. Waters from heaven. And we have gotten to the place to where we are so good at man church. Can I be man church? M-A-N church. Man church. What is man church? We don't have treadmills anywhere anymore, but we've got all this other stuff. And we're using all this other stuff to attract people, to keep people, to entertain the people. Come on. I call it man church. It's not God church. It's man church. Oh, you know. We're gonna make it like Hollywood so people will want to come. We're going to make it like Disney World so people will want to come. Come on. And he said, that was the land you came out of. He said, but the land I want you to come into, listen to me, Grace, the land God wants us to come into is a land where God sends the rain from heaven, and it's His own power, in His own Spirit, in His own will that's being done through His people. That's what God is wanting. And so for that reason, God sends times of refreshing. And I believe we're in a time where we need, our generation needs a refreshing. The church needs a refreshing. God always visits the church first, and then from the church, it flows out to hurting humanity. So this is what God is wanting to do. And He raises up people. He raised up Gideon. He raised up Barak. He raised up Deborah. He raised up Samson. All kinds, the judges you can see. And after the judges, He raised up the prophets. The prophets to call them back. You know, if you lived in that day of the prophets, in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament, you know, that wasn't really a sought after job. You ain't kidding. That wasn't in most people. You know, most young boys didn't grow up thinking, hey, you know, I want to be a prophet. Like that last one that got sawn asunder. Or they threw him through the lines. Yeah, that's who I want to be. No, yeah. You know. Listen, if you'll study it out and be honest and not get all religious on us, if you study it out, you'll see why Jonah ran. You might have run too. Don't be too hard on Jonah. You might have run too. Because he remembered what happened to his predecessor. And it wasn't pretty, was it? And see, we have to understand this. When God begins to raise up and pour out His Spirit upon us, listen, I want to tell you what. It's not going to all just be all glory and fun and games. It's not all us going to fall out on the floor and the glory cloud's going to come in. Thank God for all that. But I'm going to tell you what. There's going to come persecution with it. There's going to come misunderstanding with it. There's going to come people that are going to say, you know, you guys are crazy. They told Jesus, you are possessed with a devil. Hello? So you know why when we get all excited about it, but just let me be equal opportunity here and just let you know it's not going to be all fun and games. Yes, it's going to be glorious. Yes, God's going to pour out His Spirit, but I want to tell you what, there are going to be battles to be fought. God's not just going to anoint you so you can sit at home and your lazy boy and go, whoo, give me another thrill, Lord. Whoo, give me another thrill, Lord. Whoo. You know, oh, we coming on Sunday. Man, we had a thrill last Sunday, but I hope we get a bigger thrill this Sunday. No, that's not what it's for. What is to reach a hurting world? It's to go out in battle array. It's to go out with the weapons of God. It's to go out without fear and overcome the enemy and set the captive free. So, you know, when you start digging your well and you start praying, we start believing for God for the refreshing. Know this. Listen, there's going to be battle following refreshing. First refreshing. First anointing. But then there's going to be battle. And so don't act surprised when it happens, because this preacher forewarned you. Amen? But here's the thing. Battling in your own strength and battling in His strength is two different kinds of battle. See, most of us, all we know is battling in our own strength. And so when we hear somebody preaching and talking about battle and fighting the good fight of faith, we're like Jonah. We want to go find somewhere else to be. But there is going to come a time and a generation, says the Lord, when I am going to pour out My Spirit and I'm going to anoint those whose heart is right toward Me and who's open toward Me and says like Isaiah did, Lord, here am I, send me. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I'm doing my best. How am I doing? All right. Hi, brother. I'm doing all right? Thank you, brother. Turn to Joel real quickly just a minute. See, I ain't got to be in a hurry today because we're going to eat here. So see, that driving time and that ordering time at you know, you're putting your name on the list there at Red Lobster. See, I ain't got to worry about it. I got all that time. Mama didn't raise no fool. So I got a little more time here. And we're gonna partake in the Lord's covenant meal today too. So it's going to be a great time in the Lord, a great time of fellowship, you know. Hallelujah. I am too. I'm enjoying myself. In Joel's Gospel, chapter 2. I want to read there. Let me find where I want to go here. I got so many places I want to go at one time. in Joel 2. Let's back up. Let's start reading it about verse 20, I guess. And we'll read some scriptures in here. He said, I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost seas. And his stink shall come up and ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat that shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Now God is talking here about the last days, the pouring out of his Spirit. Now, we don't have time right now, but if you'll go and read Acts 2, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit there, if you read Peter's sermon very carefully, you will notice that he makes a comment referring to Joel. He said, this is that, in the original languages, he's literally saying this is the beginning of that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days I will pour out my Spirit. And so, once we understand that in the beginning of the church, there was what? An outpouring of the Spirit. The former rain. But then the latter rain is going to come. There are going to be seasons of refreshing where God is going to begin to pour out his Spirit upon the people again. And notice what the purpose of this is going to be. He said, when this latter rain comes, he said, the floors, the threshing floor, shall be full of wheat. What is that? That is the harvest. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 9. He said, don't say yet there are yet 3 months till the harvest. He said, but rather lift up your eyes now. The harvest is already ripe. In Israel, in the planting of their crops, God would bring the first rain to prepare the ground to receive the seed. And then the latter rain would come to bring forth the fullness of the ripeness of the harvest just before it was reaped. And so in this prophecy here, God is speaking to us that there is coming yet an outpouring of his Spirit, times of refreshing, what? So that the harvest can be reaped. See, we're when it comes to harvest, we're on the treadmill right now. You know, and we're seeing some fruit. Amen? You can raise some raise some vegetables, you know, if you irrigate and you work hard enough at it, you can raise some. But now God's saying, I'm going to send out such a rain of my Spirit that it's going to fall. And how many know rain falls indiscriminately? Doesn't it? Man, it falls on the bars as well as the fields. Isn't that right? It falls on the office places. It falls on the university campuses. Rain falls everywhere. And this is what God is saying. He said the rain is going to fall. It's going to begin with the church, but it's going to fall indiscriminately. It's going to begin to fall. It's going to begin to fall in Boynton and Lantana and Green Acres. It's going to begin to fall in Del Rey and in West Palm and Palm Beach. It's going to begin to fall all over. He said, then, what? The threshing floor, this is a threshing floor. You mark it down. The threshing floor is going to be full. Not because you got a clever pastor that could figure out how to pack them in. Because the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Floor shall be, the vat shall be overflow with wine and oil. What is that? That is the anointing. The anointing, healing. Remember Jesus talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan? Remember that? Said the Good Samaritan, what did he do? He poured in the oil in the wine. We used to have old charismatic course talk about that, didn't we, years ago? The oil in the wine. What? It is a type of anointing, of healing, of restoration, but it's the power of God doing it, not the cleverness and the wisdom of man. Amen? Listen, God can do more in your life in this situation like this in 5 minutes than the wisest person can do in 50 lifetimes. Because God, by His Spirit, will go right to the root. He's not fooled by the fruit. He goes right to the root. Yeah, you can put on your smile for us, but God knows. God knows where you're hurting. And He wants to touch that place. Amen. He says, He will cause the rain to come down for you. The vats overflow with wine and oil. He said, and I will restore. There's coming restoration. This is what the digging of the well was about that we talked about in Genesis. What was it? It was a restoration of the covenant promise given to Abraham, the father of faith. There is coming a restoration of purity, a restoration of holiness, a restoration of righteousness, a restoration of love, a restoration of forgiveness, a restoration of peace, a restoration of power, gifts of the Spirit, signs and wonders. It's going to be just like it was in the beginning. It's going to be again. But here's the thing. It's not just going to work on autopilot. Amen. The 380 were not in a position to receive what God had promised. The 380 were not in a place to where they could receive. Amen? See, we sometimes, you know, because especially in our culture, we're so independent-minded. We're so individualistic that we don't really understand some concepts that are kingdom concepts. We just think, well, you know, I can worship God at home. Well, where is that in the Scriptures? I can just watch on TV with the TV preacher. Well, where is that in the Scriptures? Amen? Listen, we're not on the radio just for the believers. We're for the lost. I mean, if the believers hear it, that's great. But you know, God's got something better for the believer. You don't have to worship over the internet or through TV. You can come together with a body of people, loving people, filled with the Spirit, filled with love, and you can worship together with them. Isn't that right? Let the lost have the leftovers until they get, you know, enough to bring them in. Why are you wanting to feed on the leftovers? Isn't that true? But there's going to be restoration. Restoration is coming to the church. Restoration of the glory. Restoration of the purpose. Restoration of the attitudes and motives of Christ Jesus Himself. Restored to the church. Restored to the pulpit. Restored to all. And we become what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, a living epistle, easily seen and read of all men. Why do we need refreshings? Well, these are some pretty good reasons right here. And we haven't even exhausted them all. But this is a starting place. But you know what? We can take the attitude that Pharaoh had. Remember Pharaoh when God was bringing the plagues on Egypt? Remember that? And he did it because of what? Because the Pharaoh was stubborn. He was stiff-necked. Are you listening? Listen, Egypt would have never experienced one plague if Pharaoh had just obeyed the first time God's word came through Moses and he said, let my people go. They'd have never experienced any of those plagues. Listen to me. Oh, God brought... Well, yes and no. His stiff neck, his unwillingness to respond to God, it brought it on him, didn't it? But it always amazed me some of his responses. I mean, this guy, he clearly, you know, he wasn't playing with a full deck, I don't think. He was a couple of fries short of a Happy Meal. Because remember when they had the frogs, the plague of frogs came? You know, he had frogs everywhere. You know, you get out of your chariot and you step on a frog. The wheels are, horses and the wheels are crunching all those frogs in the streets. Frogs, you know, frog. He opened up the refrigerator and there's a frog. Frogs are all in that. Frogs in the bed. Frogs in the bathtub. Frogs everywhere. Frogs in your hair. It was frogs everywhere. And, man, and so he sent for Moses. He said, Moses, pray to God and get rid of these frogs. And finally Moses says, okay, when do you want to get rid of them? Tomorrow. That's what he said. You read it. I mean, it's absolutely. This guy was, man, he wasn't dealing with a full day. Tomorrow. But here's the thing. How many believers have that same mindset? Well, I hear all you're saying, Pastor, but, you know, we'll have time for that tomorrow. I'm busy making a living. We can get busy about that tomorrow. I still think we got some time. You know, I got a lot going on in my life right now. Yeah, so did Pharaoh. And a lot of that stuff that may be going on in your life may be because you're not taking time for this. You're not taking time for God. You're not taking time to deal and dig out the stuff that's in your well. And so all that stuff in your well is irritating you. It's making you unpleasant to be around. Maybe you're short-tempered, impatient. Uh-oh. You thought I was winding down, didn't you? I am. But what is it? It's stuff in our well. Amen. That's not you. You're not impatient. You're not a short-tempered person. That's not you. It's all that stuff that's it's working on you. Stuff you hadn't dealt with. It's that grit that's in there. It's all that stuff work. And you're all out of sorts. And you know what? What you need to do is not just get away from everybody. I'll be all right then. No, you won't. No, you won't. Yeah, you'll still be miserable. Isn't that right? You just won't be making anybody else miserable. But you'll still be miserable. No, what do we do? With the help of God, we begin to dig that stuff out of our well. Dig it out. Dig it out. Dig it out. And what? There becomes a clear, pure flow of that water through us. And all of a sudden we discover, hey, I got peace. Nothing's changed in my life and I got peace. I've been praying for everything to change so I could have peace. We're all mixed up. Isn't that right? Jesus slept in the middle of a storm. Waves crashing over the boat. I guess he just slept right there. But see, we got to what? Peace. We deal with the stuff. And then God says, if you will do that, he said, then you will be ready for times of refreshing from the Lord. That's what I want. How about you? Father, 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 Father. Lord, as in all things, it's so easy to preach and teach, another thing to do. But Lord, it's in the doing is where it matters. And God, I pray for myself and for all of us here at Grace that we will be doers and not just hearers. We'll not just get excited, but God, we'll get in motion. We'll get active. We'll be participators. We'll not sit on the sideline. We'll not make excuses, Lord, but rather we will start out by saying, God, here I am. Shine the light on my well. I'm not going to worry about others right now, but Lord, my own well. My own well. Father, I pray right now, shine the light on every person's well here. God, let us look at our attitudes. Let us look at the stuff that's robbing us of peace, of joy, that's causing us to be irritated and impatient. God, let us deal with our stuff by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, you just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to just shine on your well. To shine on your well. What's there? Is there an attitude? Is there an offense? Is there an unforgiveness? Whatever it is there fear? Release that to God. Release that to God right now. Just release it to God. Say, God, I'm giving you this fear. I'm giving, Lord, by faith, I'm forgiving this person. I'm releasing this offense. I'm releasing it. I'm releasing this worry to you. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm giving it to you right now. Right now. You take a moment. We're in no hurry. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you.